Hello, are you well? It's Mark and Pete.
Hello, and welcome to the show. More colourful conversations with Mark and Pete. This is the show dedicated to religion, politics, and business. Now, each week, clergyman Pete and businessman Mark debate an important topic. This week, we debate healthcare, a service in crisis. Well, there's an unfortunate trend that seems to be happening, and the National Health Service in the United Kingdom seems to be in a terrible state. In fact, many leading doctors and nurses have said that the conditions in the National Health Service are the worst on record. And why is this? Well, when we look at the state of investment, the state of conditions, the scandals in which patients are being treated, where people are actually dying, what do we need to do to solve this problem? It goes even as far as to say that there are people who perhaps are being neglected. This is a National Health Service, and people are actually paying this through their taxes. So with me today is clergyman Pete, and I know that he's sitting there hoping and praying that in his dotage he'll be looked after in his old age, particularly when he has a health problem. Clergyman Pete, do you trust the National Health Service today?
Yes, in my dotage, which might start next week, I do hope to be looked after. Look, the problem of effective healthcare is one that's looked at, I believe, in the wrong way. And what I mean by that is it's looked at as being something that is so essential to life, so essential to the well-being of the people in the country, that the government needs to run it. Now, I don't disagree with the first part of that, that it's essential to health is important, and caring for each other is important. So healthcare, very important that you have a society run such that the sick are cared for. But the second part of it, so important that the government needs to take care of it, I don't agree with. I think that we could just, if you just look at any sort of provision that's solely run by the government, it ends up being inefficient and just badly run. And you can just look at experiments in the ways of running countries where every single area of life was taken care of by the government and see how badly that would turn out, just to learn about how we should try and run healthcare. The NHS in Britain, the National Health Service in Britain, could learn from what happened in other countries. For example, provision of food. Now, that's essential. Without food, we're going to die. Provision of good food is essential to having a healthy population and having a hard-working population, etc., etc. Now, in communist countries, the provision of food was seen as a duty of the government. There would be shops that were run by the government to provide the food for the area or for the particular work collective. Now, when I used to work in China, I used to go to one of these shops, or rather the sort of bit of it for foreigners called the Friendship Shop. And let me tell you, they were absolutely terrible. There wasn't enough food. What food there was overpriced and in small portions, and you ended up having huge queues when there were problems with efficient delivery. And yet we found with the growth of supermarkets in Britain and in other Western countries initially, then around the world, that it's perfectly possible to have food delivered on time so it's that you don't run out and keep the costs down, if only it's not run by the government.
Yeah, well, you've raised a few points here, which, as I draw it to the United Kingdom, for example, we talk about a system that's creaking, that's in crisis, and I know we'll talk about a little bit more in terms of what that means for people, not just today, but of course generations to come. Now, you mentioned something about the fact that food is very critical. Mm. One of the reasons that people are often criticizing the National Health Service is for this horrible fact, is that the data for England and Wales shows that just in recent times, albeit that the statistics go up to 2015, hunger and dehydration were a key factor in 825 patients' deaths. Now, can you think about it? 828 patient deaths in hospitals and care homes. Now, what? It's quite an alarming statistic, the fact that people are actually going into hospital with the hope that they will have their problem solved. Now, I know that we're not going to go into every individual case, but the fact is that the system is clearly suffering. It can't cope anymore. So I think that if we also look at some of the other problems where perhaps people are being left in corridors too long, or maybe they're just not getting the attention that they need, or even the specialist skills, because that's another thing we can touch upon, which is, do we have the full capabilities and the skill sets, for example, in the United Kingdom, where it's so heavily reliant on foreign investment and also foreign labour force who have specialist skills, whether it's doctors and nurses. Well, I'm going to sort of set up some of the problems in a little poem. We do this each week. This is a poem called Dying to See You. Day one. Dear doctor, arrived at the hospital for my operation, although my ward bed has no allocation. Perhaps there's been an alteration. I think I'm losing all circulation. Day two. Doctor, I've been moved across the corridor, having slept last night on the floor, and stepped on so many times it's sore. It appears as though I'm hard to ignore. A week later. Doctor, please let me know when I'll be seen. I'm currently in the hospital canteen. I've been moved from the staff latrine. I'm dying to tell you where else I've been. 2 weeks later. Doctor, the pain and agony is getting worse. I think the health service is such a curse. Where the hell is the blasted nurse? Why am I parked now by a hearse? 1 month later. Doctor, drastic measures are called when push comes to shove. Though my faith and hopes are all out of love. To find me, just follow the little white dove. And my final resting place in heaven above. Yours, the patient who lost all patience.
Yes. Well, I'm afraid they're going to lose all their patience. And they.
Sadly, the records show that far too many patients have been kept in corridors, been given the right service, even to the point when people have been left on trolleys and dying. So how could this possibly be that somebody who is booked in to come and have an operation can actually find themselves in worse condition than they first went in? Now, I know that there might be a bit of tongue-in-cheek in this, but there is actually a bit of a reality check here that the service levels are not coming up to standard. It appears as though that more nurses are leaving the profession. And in fact, there are so many gaps in the requirements for doctors that the National Health Service and the social care system just in general does cite the fact that it doesn't have enough investment. But I don't believe it's just about money alone. My opinion is that the whole system needs a radical overhaul. Now, I know that we talked before we actually came online in terms of what do we need to do. So I thought I would actually give you some of my views. If we look over the last 30 years, it's very clear that the National Health Service in the United Kingdom just simply hasn't worked. In fact, it's got to the point where now that the system just can't function. So almost a little bit like when the National Health Service was first initiated in the 1940s, needs a radical overhaul. Mm. And I think that what needs to happen is, to your point earlier, which is government should set policy, but government is not good at managing operational matters.
Yeah.
I think that what I would do if I were in government, I would commission an independent report to completely reassess how the state of affairs occur in all key areas of the country. Now, whether that's a 1 year, 2 year report, it's not something that I would propose to be a lingering and exhaustive process. But the point being is having an independent report will identify what works and what doesn't. But what I would say is that I would probably suggest that now what needs to happen is that we need to move to a different policy of privatizing a lot of the systems. For example, if you are a citizen in a given county, i.e. from those of our listeners who perhaps may not be familiar with the structure, our United Kingdom is split up into counties and districts. So whilst we talk about a national health service, essentially we're serviced by local general practitioners and local hospitals. I think you should be registered with those local entities, and your tax should be linked to it. So what that would mean is that where you gain your normal service, your actual national health contribution, this is where you'd actually pay through your pay-as-you-earn, through your state tax, gets funded back into your local operation. Now, the point being is that doesn't mean to say that you can't receive service from another national health entity, for example, if you travel, etc. But essentially, your identity is tagged to a given region primarily where you live or work.
Yeah.
But the point is that the whole infrastructure would then be privatized, meaning that NHS hospital or general practitioner would be serviced by a private practice, and you would pay your local taxes in the same way you would pay your council tax, which would be for your street upkeep and your lighting, etc., and your infrastructure. Because at the moment, what's happening is that the government is just simply politically using this as a football, going bouncing backwards and forwards on policy. And I would also go as far as to say, and as bold as to say, looking at the figures, and we don't need to go through all of them now, but there is a high cost at middle management and senior management, which I think is somewhat exorbitant. So I think the point being is it needs a radical overhaul. What's your view on this?
I think that the key point in terms of the Mark and Pete way there, we emphasise time and time again the importance of long-termism, long-term thought and planning, and localism in terms of responsibility for whatever it is. In this case, the provision of healthcare, it should be local to the people who are paying. So when you're paying in your tax, you should see it used locally. Then there's proper oversight over how it is used. Taxes should always be levied close to where the decision-making is, as close as possible. In fact, the best thing is to have no tax paid and you spend the money yourself. That's the ideal, but of course that can't always be done. Not everyone's a doctor, for example. So you need to pay out money for certain services. Now, can it be done through the government? Well, yes, but it's the problem is not that government in itself is evil. It's just that as soon as it's divorced from the people who are making decisions about payments and the people who are paying, as soon as they're distant, then you get this strange malaise that overcomes people when they're working for the government. They're lazy, they're slow, they're not so bothered about waste. You know, why does that happen? Well, it's the same for all of us. There was an interesting story I read some time ago about a children's home where outside the home were parked the cars of the staff. And they were all, you know, not necessarily expensive cars, but clean, well-kept. And there were a few really battered ones. And a new member of staff said, well, what are those? Why are they all smashed up? And they said, well, those are the county cars, in this case. I mean, it belonged to the local government in the counties. You told me. So no, it was as though no one owned them because they were the government cars. So no one cared for them. And the reason in the story was the children were a bit like the cars. No one cared for them. But you get the same thing with any government-run enterprise where that is separated from you. If, on the other hand, you know the local politician who's been making the decisions because they live on your street, it's very different. Now, I personally would take it further than you just said. I think that's a reasonable Mark and Pete position that you laid out, but I would take it further. I would say that instead of paying for it through effectively local taxation, because you're making sure that a section of the tax is used locally. I understand that. But I would say make individuals pay. Give them back the money. Let them opt in to a particular health provider. Now, what people will say is an argument against it. Let me preempt an argument against it. What if people choose not to pay?
Yeah.
And so, therefore, you end up with people not understanding the seriousness of it and therefore you're effectively taxing you're condemning people who are too stupid to understand it.
And their families.
Now, my answer to that is very simple. We have the exact same situation, and we deal with it very effectively. And that is when you buy a car, you have to have insurance on your car, but no one tells you who to insure it with. Which insurance company do you use? That's up to you. In the same way, you've got to pay it to someone, but you can choose. That's my point. You don't say, no one goes without healthcare, but you can choose. And as soon as you then have different healthcare providers vying for your services, you introduce the one of the critical things to privatizing, and that is true competition amongst the providers. And I think that will drive down costs and increase efficiency, and it'll be a better service. So that's the difference that I would make. I would have it as a personal insurance.
Yes, and I completely agree with that point, that in the sense that if it's mandatory, you have to register, you have to pay.
Yes.
Now, the one thing I would say is, and this is the reason why I believe that it needs to be a local tax, is that the concern from many citizens is that when you're paying through your national insurance, which is the component which actually draws upon the funds, and I do appreciate that the national insurance also pays for pensions and it pays for education, but when we're talking about the health service, that's where it comes from. The concern here is that many people believe that when they're paying money into that, what I'll call central pot, which effectively goes into government funds, it doesn't go into their local service. So there are many people who are saying, because, for example, they might live in the country as opposed to near a town or a city, they're not getting the full benefit of what they're paying for through their tax. Now, whereas if you paid through your local tax, you would then guarantee that the funds would be going into the region in which you live. Now, in my opinion, this is where the service is creaking, because a lot of the national health services, whether it's general practitioners, whether it's hospitals or outpatient facilities, just simply are starting to go on the wane. They can't cater for all of their communities, particularly in the rural communities. They're just not being invested in. And it means that for somebody, and this is an interesting thing. So a local government spokesperson, I noticed deliberately anonymous, but widely reported on many of the national press, has said, we recognize pressures of an aging population, which is why we are recently announced a £900 million of additional funding for adult care over the next 2 years. Now, I know that anyone would say that £900 million seems like a lot of money. It's a drop in the ocean in comparison to what's actually required. Yeah. Because basically, whilst I understand that all monies are really helpful, any funds welcome, I'm sure. But the fact of the matter is that we don't know where that's going. And, simply glibly put out these type of figures in a public statement, I think is somewhat naive.
Yes,
so it ties into my point that nobody can be really truly transparent. And I think having a local system means that through the reporting, let alone the servicing, I really want to emphasize the budget reporting. If that's much more transparent, the people in the local communities can see where their money is going, then people will understand better what they're getting. They can obviously judge those independent bodies. So, for example, we mentioned about private entities. The argument often is with private entities that they're just there to exploit. Well, I think, again, this is where policy comes in. So remember, the balance between government sets policy. We've already mentioned one thing. Policy is you've got to have a national health service in the same way as you've got to pay taxes, you've got to pay car insurance and so on. So the point being is what you can do is that you set policy criteria, you set targets, and people who do not match that, then effectively the tender turns to someone else. What would you do in this whole reassessment is that you'd have to look at private entities who would be capable of tendering for that service. And most importantly, you'd need contingency plans, because I do agree, almost anticipation, no matter how good any service is, if somebody fails, you need an alternative. But I think principle is this, that private entities have the expertise, they're goal-driven, they are efficient, they will draw upon the most exclusive skills that are required. They would train and nurture and target and channel that into the local communities where it's needed. For example, there will be differences to services required in the rural regions as opposed to those in the cities, the mainland cities. And there's a number of reasons for that.
Yes.
Because some of the service have to be done at home as opposed to in the hospital.
Yeah.
So my point is this. If you design a system which meets the needs of the country, which we don't have at this moment in time, we've got a creaking system that is so archaic. It sadly is nearly 100 years old, but it's just not fit for purpose anymore.
Yes, I agree.
So we do need a complete new system altogether.
Yeah, and it's so important. I mean, I normally come out with a Bible verse just to comment on the theme of the episode. There's so much I could choose from in the Bible. Exodus 23:25 says, "You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and will take your sickness away from you." You serve the Lord, and he will bless your bread and your water, and you'll take your sickness away. The serving the Lord is important. Sickness being taken away, so health is important. But he blesses the bread and the water. The provision of it is down to you under the Lord's blessing. And we see it again in 3 John chapter 2. "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, and all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." You see, your eternal destiny is important to God, but your health is important too. So it's so important to God that we run things well. And the government provides a milieu in which healthcare can be provided, but it certainly isn't the duty of government. The Bible doesn't say, right, no, you, I will provide your healthcare and your food. Yeah, God is behind everything. But the government, the person running the country, God is, of course, over all governments, is not there providing the day-to-day service. He doesn't make the bread for you. We make the bread. And in the same way, he doesn't run the hospitals. And the government shouldn't be doing that. Now, before you do your summing up, Mark, just a new feature here, Mark and Peter. You may be listening to this on YouTube. If you click the little eye at the top right, which should be there on most devices that can be used to watch YouTube, the little survey on who should be paying for the NHS. We'd like to have your feedback.
Yes. Well, from that, let's conclude on that. So you can see that this is an emotive subject, but one where clearly if we continue with the policies that we have at this moment in time, the United Kingdom, and I know that we have alluded to other countries who are struggling to come to terms with what is going to be the most effective system to put in place. We mentioned America, etc., and we can certainly tackle that in another show. But listeners, we welcome your view on this. Do you believe that in the United Kingdom, for example, that we do have a flagship system? Is it that you actually think that it is a good service? Maybe, perhaps, although we've criticized it heavily, some people are very happy with it, or maybe not. So I know that it would be good to get your view. Log on to markandpete.com and fill out the contact form. Let us know your thoughts. But in conclusion, what we do think is that we definitely have the same goals, which is to have a healthy body, healthy minds, but for certain, a healthy policy. So, listeners, join us next time for more colourful conversations with Mark and Pete.